Now let's all go now to Ezekiel chapter 18. Ezekiel chapter 18, we're going to start at verse 19. Well, yeah, if you guys are there, please say amen.
Amen.
Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 19 through 24. The Lord says, "Yet you say, why should a son not bear the guilt of the father? Because the son has done what is lawful and right, and has kept all my statutes and observed them, he shall surely live. The soul who sins shall die. The son shall not bear the guilt of the father, nor the father bear the guilt of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon himself." And listen to this, ladies and gentlemen. Verse 21, "But if a wicked man turns from all his sins," did I say all or some? "All his sins which he has committed, keeps all my statutes, and does what is lawful and right, he shall surely live. He shall not die. None of the transgression," did I say none? "None of the transgression which he has committed shall be remembered against him. Because of the righteousness which he has done, he shall live. Do I have any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, says the Lord God, and not that he should turn from his ways and live?" Man, listen, this is my key message for this morning. "But when a righteous man turns away from his righteousness and commits iniquity, and does according to all the abomination that the wicked man does, shall he live? All the righteousness," did I say some? "All the righteousness which he has done shall not be remembered because of the unfaithfulness of which he is guilty, and the sin which he has committed, because of them, he shall die." The Lord tells us straight, amen. And beloved, this message is not for the unbelievers, those who are outside the church. It's for the house of Israel, the church. In verse 25, God says, "Yet you say the way of the Lord is not fair. Hear now, O what? House of Israel, is it not my ways which is fair and your ways which are not fair?" When the Lord gives us an urgent reformation message to his people, beloved, God will hold us accountable. In verse 30, "Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, says the Lord God. Repent and turn from some all your transgression, so that iniquity will not be in your ruin." To continue in verse 31 through 32, and this is read by our scripture reading. "Cast away from you all the transgression which you have committed, and get yourselves a new heart." This is old heart or new? New heart. And a new what?
Spirit.
New spirit. "For why should you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of the ones who dies, says the Lord God. Therefore turn and live." Beloved, those who are waiting for the second coming of Christ, they must get their act together. Let's all go to Titus chapter 2. And I wish I had it up there on the screen, but I want all of us to go in the Word, because, you know, I could put anything up there and I could be lying. So y'all are going to have to test me on this through the Word. Amen? Let's go to Titus chapter 2. We're going to start at verse 11. If you guys are there, please say amen. "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men." Oh, you can change the next slide. "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying" what? "And worldly lust, we should live" what? "And what? And godly" in where? When, I meant. "In this present world." Amen. "Looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from some? From every lawless deed, and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works." It's before he returns, beloved, because when he comes with them, it's his reward to give to every man according to his work. We can read from Maranatha, page 222. When he comes, he is not to cleanse us of our sins, to remove from us the defects in our character, or to cure us of the infirmities of our tempers and disposition, if wrought for us at all. If wrought for us at all, this work will all be accomplished before that time. No work will then be done for them to remove their defects and give them holy characters. And the refiner does not then sit to pursue his refining process and to remove their sins and their corruption. This all, did I say some? All to be done in these hours of probation. It is now, not at the coming of Christ, now that this work is to be accomplished for us. When he comes, and I'm going to tell it straight, he is only to give us immortality that goes with a perfect mind. Our minds need to be developed here and now. Because some people say, well, Josiah, he'll give us perfect minds and perfect body. We don't have to worry about overcoming sin. Beloved, we all know that we cannot overcome sin our own selves. It is only through Jesus. The Bible also teaches in 1 Corinthians 3:16, that do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone, this is some, if anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Beloved, I'm going to say this again. If you're not doing God's will, you are automatically doing Satan's will. No man can serve two masters. Either you love one or hate the other, or you despise the one and cling to the other. You cannot stand at the fence. Either you are with me or against me. The Lord loves his remnant church, beloved. Amen. But God is looking for the church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that he may present his church a glorious church. Who is the groom, beloved? And who is the bride? Have we, beloved, have our wedding garments on? Who will abide in the day of his coming? Who? Let's all go to Psalm chapter 24, verses 3 to 4. And I encourage you, beloved, write these things down. Psalms 24, verses 3 to 4, the Bible said. Is it what I said or the Bible said? I didn't quote this myself, beloved. Who may ascend to the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and pure hearts. This is sinful heart or pure? Pure hearts. Not lifted up to his soul to falsehood, and nor not sworn deceitfully. It was from the youth instructor book on September 26, 1901. It says that when Jesus speaks of the new heart, he means where? Ain't talk about here. He talk about the mind, beloved. The life, the whole being. To have a change of heart is to withdraw the affection from the world and fasten them upon Christ. To have a new heart is to have a new mind, new purposes, new motives. What is a sign of a new heart? A changed life. There is daily, hourly, dying to selfishness and pride. It's not two birds and one stone. You may not get it all the first time. Daily and hourly, dying to selfishness and pride. For our minds, beloved, is carnal and is bent towards evil. Man loves darkness rather than light. We need to empty our own hearts and be filled with the Spirit of God. And those who practice this shall be able to stand at that great day. They will cry out, say, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him, and we will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. If you guys are with me, please say amen. Amen. Oh, what a precious promise of the Savior, beloved. Let's all go to Ezekiel chapter 36. I don't have it up there, so I want to test you guys this morning. Everybody, open your Bibles, please. All right, Ezekiel chapter 36, we're going to start at verse 25. If you guys with me, please say amen. The Bible said, "Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. And I will cleanse you from some, all your filthiness, and from all your idols. I will give you an old heart, a new heart, and put an old spirit within you. And I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgment and do them. And then you shall dwell in the land that I give to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will deliver you from some, all your uncleanness. I will call for the grain and multiply and bring no famine upon you." Oh, please say amen, beloved. If you are struggling, beloved, with sin, Jesus can set you free. If you're struggling with alcohol, he can set you free. If you need a victory, how do I put this? If you are struggling watching lustful things on the internet, God can set you free. And the only way he can set you free, if you read the word. You cannot do this on your own, beloved. You need Jesus. Who said Christian is easy? Many people tell me that a Christian is so easy, it's just like pretty flowers every day and nothing to worry about. Peace and safety. Beloved, there is war. It's warfare when you want to become a Christian. Oh, that's a pitch. I meant to put that up there. This is from Signs of the Times, Volume 3, page 336. And I also got this from the devotional, Our High Calling. Oh, beloved, I encourage you to read that devotional. Man is allotted a part in this great struggle for everlasting life. He must respond to the working of the Holy Spirit. It will require what? Who says it's going to be easy? It will require a struggle to break through the powers of darkness, but the Spirit that works in him can and will accomplish this. But man is no passive instrument to be saving what? Indolence. Indolence means laziness. He is called upon to strain some, every muscle in the struggle for immortality. Yet it is who? Yet it is God that supplies the efficiency. Remember the hymns, beloved. They're called Onward Christian Soldier. Onward Christian Soldier, marching as to war with the cross of Jesus going on before. We are not alone. Jesus on our side. If he is for us, who can be against us? The battle is not ours, it's the Lord. And those, I'm going to read this right here. It said, those who fight for Christ, and this is from Signs of the Times, May 27th, 1897. If you want to know more about it, see me afterwards. But it says, those who fight for Christ are fighting in the sight of a heavenly universe. And they should be soldiers, not cowards. Those who truly desire to serve God will not follow their own wisdom or the wisdom of the arch deceiver who is playing the game of life for their souls. By faith, by what? By faith, they are to look calmly upon every foe, exclaiming, "We fight the good fight of faith under the command of the omniscient power. Because he lives, we shall live also." Through Jesus, through who? Through Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, we may withstand all the fiery darts of the enemy. You tell Satan that he is a liar. If Jesus overcame him, we can also. And this, through our faith, amen. Beloved, Satan is a defeated foe. And so many of us think that we're just grasshoppers. We can overcome sin only through Christ here in this present world. And that's the only way we can make it. And when we walk with God fully in this life, just as the Bible promised in Proverbs 4:18, the path of the just is as a shining light that shines more and more unto the perfect day. It is daily You hear me? It is daily when we walk with God. It is through the word of God that brings transformation to the soul. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I'm going to go a little deeper into my sermon. But I'm talking to those who profess to be followers of Christ and believe in the truth. Ellen White said in Testimonies to Minister and Gospel Worker, page 441, I think I have. Let no one, oh no, let me read this. Woe to those who profess to be followers of Christ and believe in the truth. The reason is because we are under the most solemn obligation to represent God and Christ. We are to guard against dishonoring God by professing to be His people, then going directly contrary to His will. And a white sinner in the Testimonies to Minister and Gospel Workers, page 441, let no one deceive his own soul in this matter. If you don't believe me, read it yourself. If you harbor pride, self-esteem, a love for supremacy, vainglory, unholy ambition, murmuring, discontent, bitterness, evil speaking, lying, deception, slandering, you have not Christ abiding in your heart. Lord have mercy. And the evidence shows that you have the mind and the character of Satan, not of Jesus, who was meek and lowly of heart. You must have a Christian character that will stand. You may have good intentions, good impulsiveness, and can speak the truth understandingly, but you are not fit for the kingdom of heaven. Your character has in it the base material which destroys the value of the goal. You have not reached the standard. The oppressed of the divine is not upon you. The Lord tells us straight. The furnace fires will consume you because you are worthless, counterfeit gold. There must be a thorough conversion among those who claim to believe the truth, or they will fall. They will fall in the day of trial. God's people must reach a high standard. They must be a holy nation, a peculiar people, a chosen generation, zealous of good works. Whenever you read something like that, you're just speechless. What is this telling you, beloved? Each and every one of you. So many people think that they will stand during the time of trouble and be like, look, Josiah, I don't need Jesus. I could do this. Look, I know what the word said. Those who think he standeth, take heed lest he fall. By beholding Jesus, we become changed into his likeness, and this pleases the Father, that Christ's fullness in us. Beloved, the harvest is near. You hear what I said? It is near. We're at the edge of the eternal world. There will be a shaking among God's people, and I'll tell you this, during the time of trouble, the Lord will test your faith. There's no time to do the devil's work. No time for that. We must look to sin in abhorrence. We got to have the hateful for sin and be disgusted by it. Sin is not to play with. You got to let it go. Or she will not stand at that time. Lord have mercy. We need to be more like Job, who was perfect and upright and the one that feared God and escheweth evil. We have to come to the turning point of life that we would rather die than to sin against our own maker. Hebrews 6:1, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. When Paul was explaining this, he said, we got to move on from sinning and forgiving, sinning and forgiving, sinning and forgiving. We got to move on from that. Go on to perfection where the Lord has set us a mark of a high price. We need to stop compromising when it comes to do God's will. The Lord said, obey in my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people. Walk in ye all the ways I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you. Jeremiah 7:23. This is from Christ's Object Lessons. This is on page 122 to 123. Throughout the period of the probationary time, his spirit is entreating to men to accept the gift of life. It is only those who reject his pleading that will be left to perish. If you don't believe me, read it yourself. God has declared that sin, what? Must be what? Must be destroyed as an evil ruinous in the universe. Those who cling to sin will perish in its destruction. You have to let it go. And my brethren and sisters, seek the Lord while he may be found. There is a time coming when those who have wasted their times and opportunities will wish they had sought him. And I was reading from this one book, and I wish I could remember, but one writer said that those who are lost, or those who will not come to Jesus and forsake sin, when New Jerusalem comes down from God out of heaven, they will look through the walls of the city and see the saints glorified by the blood of Jesus. They will look through the city and they see what they have missed. And outside the walls of the city, the writer describes that the letter was written in fire and it spells out hell. Too late to come to Jesus at that time. Too late! It was too late. Go to Jesus now and avoid doomsday later. It's stupid to go to hell. Do you hear what I said? It's stupid to go to hell. Hell won't be fun. People think hell will be fire coming down from heaven. Don't get me wrong, that's true, though. But seeing that what you have missed, that is hell. You see all the saints glorified by the blood of Jesus. And you're not in there. You're outside the city. On Great Controversy, page 489 through 490, from chapter 28, Facing the Life's Record, we are now living in a great day of an atonement. And in a typical service, while the high priest was making atonement for Israel, all were required to afflict their souls by repentance of sin and humiliation before the Lord, lest they be cut off from among the people. In like manner, all who have their names retained in the book of life shall now, in a few remaining days of their probation, afflict their souls before God by sorrowful sin and true repentance. There must be what? Deep and faithful searching of heart. The light, frivolous spirit indulged by so many professed Christians must be put away. Did it say to keep it? Put away! There is an earnest warfare before all who will subdue the evil tendencies that strives for the mastery. How long would you keep it, beloved? It's wherever you're going through, is it something that will cherish for a long time? Do you want to keep the same sin? And you know what? And there was one. This is it right here. I didn't get a chance to read this, but this was in Great Controversy, page 425. Those who are living upon the earth when the intercession of Christ shall cease in the sanctuary above are to stand in the sight of a holy God without a mediator. Their roles must be spotless. Their characters must be purified from sin by the blood of the sprinkling. Through the grace of God, their own diligent effort, they must be conquerors in a battle with evil. While the investigative judgment is going forward in heaven, while the sins of the penitent believers are being removed from the sanctuary, there is to be a special work of purification, of putting away of sin among God's people upon the earth. That was in Great Controversy, page 425. Beloved, this hour calls for the training of the body and the mind to face the impending conflict. It calls for constant surrender and total commitment to Christ. We need to frequently ask ourselves where our eyes are fixed. Is it here in this world? There your heart is, there may be also. If your heart is on the mind of this world, you will perish. Let us then, by God's grace, put everything out of the way that is getting in the way. By His grace, let us keep from cluttering our minds and our hearts and souls and lives with distraction that pulls us away from Christ and becloud His image and our character. Let us stop hindering the Lord's effort as He strives to finish the work of our salvation. Always know this, beloved. God cannot send the Spirit in His fullness while the people disregard the counsels He has graciously sent through that same Spirit. We must give Him our consent. He will not do these things for us. We got to let Him in. I always tell people that Jesus is coming soon, but He's stuck in traffic. He's stuck in our traffic. He's waiting on us to make up our minds if we're going to serve Him or not. God knows who are His in this church. There's a wheat and a tare, amen? And beloved, when we truly seek to do God's will, this is from Testimonies to the Church, Volume 5, page 705. Write that down. When we are truly seeking to do God's will, whose will? Not the pastor, not your own self, God's will. And the Holy Spirit takes the precept of His words and makes them the principles of the life, writing them on the tablets of the soul. And it's only those who are following the light already given that can hope to receive the further illumination of the Spirit. This is plainly stated in the words of Christ. If any man who? If any man will do His will, he shall know of the doctrine. And my very last quote before I close. Actually, you know what? Everybody, please turn to 1 John. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. And we're going to start at verse 1. Behold, beloved, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him. Amen. For we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies. What did I say? Purify himself just as He is pure. Jump right to verse 9. Beloved, whoever has been born of God does not sin. For His seed remains in Him, and He cannot sin, because He has been born of God. Oh, beloved, no, let nobody deceive you. Don't let nobody deceive you. He who is a child of God does not sin. And whenever we're tempted in everything, everybody tend to blame on sin. It ain't just him. It's because you want to do it. And this is, I'm going to jump right to chapter 4 and verse 4. But for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. What did I say? Overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. Our what? Our faith. My last quote. I'm talking to those who are suffering with the battle of evil. And do not be discouraged, beloved. Do not be. Because you know the Lord is always going to pick you up every time when the mother trying to train her child to walk. If the baby fails, she don't swap the child. She picks us up. This is from Desire of Ages, page 483. Through all our trials, we have a never failing helper. He does not leave us alone to struggle with temptation, to battle with evil, and be finally crushed with burdens and sorrow. Though now He is hidden from mortal sight, the ear of faith can hear His voice saying, "Fear not, I am with you." I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Revelation 1:18. I have endured your sorrows, experienced your struggles, and encountered your temptations. I know your tears. I also have wept. The griefs that lie too deep to be breathed into any human ear, I know. Think not that you are desolate and forsaken, though your pain touch no responsive chord in any heart on earth. Look unto me and live. The mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord God, that have mercy on thee. Isaiah 54:10. Oh, beloved, minutes, hours, seconds, day by day, those times are golden. And very soon, probation is about to close. And it will be forever too late. And I don't think people know this morning, but your heart is beating right now. And a sign saying to you, grace, 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 grace. When we keep before our minds the urgency of our work, the salvation of God will be revealed in a remarkable manner. That was in First Testimony to the Church, Volume 9. Do you want to be there, beloved? Is Jesus' blood vain for you this morning? Is Jesus' blood shed in vain for you this morning? Who wants to be there? Raise your hand. Who wants to be there? That day will come, I will cry out, behold my King! He died for me and for all you guys. The day will come that evil shall not rise a second time. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. And behold, I make all things new. If you want to be there, beloved, you have to get your act together now. This is all we got. The Lord does not promise us tonight. We may not wake up the next day. This is it. This is all we got right now. My last question to you, are you on the lower side? If you are, I'm not saying you're not, but if you are, turn and live.